feeling.
I see. So again, perhaps this psalm was expressing a dramatic text and dramatic mood that appealed to him. And it certainly took a tremendous amount of perseverance, I would think, to compose a work of this size without a prospect or a thought of immediate performance.
There were very few occasions at that time. I mean, Léon Sonlena is an exception, or the little symphony where Universal said, bring us a shorter piece, you know, not such a big piece.
Right.
And things like this, but normally when he composed, there was no hope whatsoever.
I see. At least no immediate prospect.
No.
I see. Well, this pretty well concludes the period 1931 to 1936. I thought it appropriate to make a break here because, beginning with 1937, we find Eric composing a real dramatic work, an opera, a text that obviously appealed to him, and a piece that a friend of his told me in absolutely direct and simple terms is one of the finest operas composed in this century. This is the work Léon Sonlena. Now this is a work you've told me with which Eric symbolically bade farewell to Vienna and to his youth, a work that obviously meant a tremendous amount to him.
Well, this really is a big jump in time with Léon Sonlena, because a lot of things happened in the meantime. As I told you, my father died, and with the death of my father, my mother's influence and power, so to say, waned somewhat. And it was only a matter of time that we knew she had to give in.
Mm-hmm.
So one Sunday when, as usual, you know, there was a young crowd at my house and Eric was excluded, all of a sudden the bell rang and he came up and he said to my mother, this can't go on like this, you can't exclude me from the circle anymore. And my mother astonishingly gave in.
Mm-hmm.
She knew she was licked, so to say. And from then on, at least, you know, this horrible thing that we couldn't see each other at my house, and that he was excluded, and all the other young friends were there, and he couldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
This vanished. And then about a year later, she gave in. I was very, very strongly attached to tradition and so on. I don't think I would have married without her consent.
I see.
Because I felt like a superstition that it would be an unlucky thing, that I could never be lucky or happy if it were not with a blessing, you know, of my parents. And so I was very happy, and the date was set, and then we married in 1935.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Eric had now these responsibilities. He went out of his parents' home, and I worked too. As you know, I was a lawyer.
Yes.
You know? In our country, you are not a lawyer before 7 years are over. You make your doctor's degree, and then for 7 years, you have to practice something in an assistant position. And it was depression, and there were hundreds of young lawyers without a position, and I was really very fortunate and lucky to get a position at all, because that position you could not then have the opportunity to become a lawyer.
Couldn't put in your time,
at all.
As it were.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the payment was very, very poor, and there were many, many of young boys who took these positions without payment at all, if they could afford it, just to get this time.
To get the time.
And so I had to be very lucky, you know, and satisfied to get the payment at all. But it was a very poor payment, so that was my contribution. And the rest Eric had to put. I had also inherited from my father some money, which gave some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this interest, and then the rest Eric had to provide. and he did it like usual with lessons and so on, but it took a great deal of strength.